I want to share a little bit of what God has been speaking to my heart the last few weeks. You may or may not know, I've been through some difficulty. Started when we were in Nigeria, and I didn't have Ebola. I didn't have malaria. Didn't have any of those things, but it was an attack of the enemy. And coming home, we did need to go to the hospital. It was necessary, really it was. And of course, when we used the word fever and Nigeria in the same sentence, it set off all kinds of bells and springs and whistles and fire alarms and everything else among the state health department, and they got involved. And I'm not going to go into all the details. That doesn't matter. But the thing is, at some point, I remember mentioning to a doctor, I said, "So what do you think, Doc? Maybe I go home tomorrow?" Of course, I was being optimistic, overly optimistic. But it was his reply that was such a surprise to me. He said, "You aren't going anywhere until the New York State Health Department says you can." And I realized that I was a prisoner. Now, I don't know what the troopers would have done, come with gowns and everything to arrest me. Yeah, but I didn't have any of those things. But I did a lot of talking to the Lord, okay? And those of you that remember, 12 years ago, I had a very life and death crisis. And, of course, I did a lot of talking to the Lord at that time. And I said to the Lord, "Lord, I hope I'm not talking to you the same way I did back then. I hope that you're not going to say that I'm complaining. I hope that you hear from me, that you hear praise, that you hear, yes, I do have to cry to you. I have to talk to you. I'm in a difficult spot. And I do hope that you will hear me." Now, I didn't hear the words of the Lord like I did that other time. But there was only one word that came to me in the unpleasant situation where I was. And by the way, it was not only unpleasant, it was uncomfortable, it was painful. Yes, there were things they were doing that were very painful. And some of the treatments were painful. There's only one word that came, and that is the word furnace. And I thought, okay, so I'm in a furnace. How am I doing in the furnace, Lord? Am I overcoming? Am I rejoicing? You see, you don't know.
Right.
You don't know how you're doing.
Right.
And you have no way of knowing, really, except that you can only continue to examine your heart. And in the course of time, there were some verses that came to me. Okay, if you wouldn't mind, I'd like to share those verses. And, you know, as I was thinking of that, I was thinking of you all. Do you mind the southern term? You all. All of you. I was thinking of you. I was thinking of you guys. I was thinking of you guys. I was thinking of all of your circumstances, at least as much as I know of. And I'm thinking, you know, they've been going through some furnaces too. They've had some pretty hot times. And you know the thing about these furnaces is they don't end when you think they should. In my mind, it's, okay, all right, a week, maybe 2 weeks, month at the most, it'll all be over. And you see, there's something in us that we want to escape pain. We really do. We want to preserve ourselves. And we want to maintain a life of predictability, a life of comfort. We like that. And okay, so we're made that way. But God in His wisdom brings other things. Because unless He does, we will not change. No, we will not. We say we want change. We say we want to be like Christ. But in reality, it takes something shaking to change us. And you know, I'm going way back 30 years now of just some terrible things I've been through. And I remember coming to the place where I remember one time I said to the Lord, "Lord, why can't you just say to me what you want? And I'll do it." But that doesn't work. I wish it would work. "Son, I want you to start doing thus and thus more often, and I want you to do thus and thus." Well, okay, I would do those things, but there would be the same carnal desires in me to do otherwise. Do you follow what I'm saying? I don't know. Let's say I was addicted to watching television, which I'm not, so that's a pretty safe thing. And if he were to say, "You're wasting too much time watching television. I want you to quit." But that was not my problem. My problem was my desires and my lusts and the things that were appeasing to me on those shows. And I could say, okay, I shut it off, I throw it away. But that didn't change what was in me. Okay? So, 20 years later, I could come back and turn that same thing on and say, "What did I ever see in this?" You follow what I'm saying? Why? Because something in me changed. And something that I could not change simply by throwing the thing in the trash. It wouldn't have changed me. And, okay, I promised to get into some verses. So let's start in Isaiah 48, verse 10. And this is the first verse that came to my attention. And, of course, I didn't have a Bible. It seems that they don't put Gideon Bibles in Catholic hospitals. I couldn't find one. And when they told me the kind of isolation that I was in, at first I had said to Rita, "Well, bring my razor, bring my this, bring my that." And they said to me, "Anything that comes into here is not going out." I said, "Oh, don't bring my Bible then." Because I definitely want to save my Bible. They changed all that, you know, of the panic of Ebola and all that was gone, and the tests came. They sent tests all the way out to Utah somewhere, to some special lab, and things began to relax. Okay, but nevertheless, I said to the Lord, "I want to learn whatever you have for me in this fire." Okay? And this verse came to me. "Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction." Now, that's just a verse. I'm not going to read the other verses around it because it relates to other things. I want to just focus on this. The Lord said, "I have chosen thee, I have refined thee, and I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction." Now, a furnace of affliction, what does affliction mean?
Suffering.
Suffering. Would tribulation count? Would persecution count? And, of course, here I am, I'm a prisoner, but I'm thinking, but I'm a pretty lucky prisoner. It's not like Paul, where they beat his back. It's not who was the man that was in Romania? Oh, come now. We all remember his name. Just our generation. The man that was there. You know who I mean. It's not like that. No, there was another one. He's a famous Christian. He was hauling Bibles.
You meant the one that was the ruler.
Oh, no, not the ruler, the prisoner. The prisoner for Christ. And it's not like they all...
Wormbrand,
yes. It's not like they're going to haul me out in the corridor and beat me every day, you know. It's not like they're going to put me and stake me out in the cold like that poor brother up in Nepal where they just chained him up to a post out in the cold and they thought he'd freeze to death, and he didn't. It's not like that, Lord. But nevertheless, can I say I'm a prisoner for Christ?
Amen.
Yes, okay. So there's affliction and there's a furnace. Let's go to another verse, chapter 49, verse 8.
Okay.
Same page. Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time I have heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages. Now, what does one do in a furnace is they do a lot of talking to the Lord. Hello? Am I right? Yeah. You do a lot of talking to the Lord. And it seems that the Lord doesn't answer you when you want to hear the answer or in the way that you want to hear the answer. And the words that you want to hear are not the words that you wanted to hear. Let me just take you, for instance, of this thing 12 years ago when I was on my way to the hospital. Sister Janet was driving the car, and I'm crying out to the Lord. And I said, Lord, I'm in a lot of trouble. And what is the nature of my trouble? And the voice of the Lord clearly spoke to me and said, for you are dead. Now, that is not the kind of thing that comforts your flesh, is it? And I'm thinking as the car goes along and I can hear the engine screaming because she forgot to shift, and I say, Janet, time to shift. And as I said that, I thought, but I'm not dead. If I can hear all that and feel the movement of the car, I mean, everything else was kind of black, but then what does the Lord mean by what he says to you? And I'm still 12 years later, still trying to figure out what all this meant. And I'm thinking, now here I am in the hospital again, and I'm thinking, am I really dead? Does it really matter? I mean, dead people would not be complaining about this. They wouldn't be complaining about that. It wouldn't bother them about this or that or the other thing. So obviously, I'm not quite as dead yet as the Lord would want me to be. Do you follow what I'm saying? Now, part of the idea of the furnace, and I'm not going to go look up the verses, in Jeremiah was invited to visit the potter's house. Do you remember that? And there was a man there in the potter's house. Apparently they had a pottery wheel in those days. I don't know what kind of an invention it was, but with their foot they'd make this thing go and this little wheel would turn and the man would make his pottery. And I think Jeremiah was telling that the pot he was making was flawed, and so he'd just smash it down and he'd start all over again. And I remember the time that Janet had a vision of where she was in this situation, and she was this pot thing that the Lord was working on. And you see, part of the pottery thing is the pot goes into a furnace. Did you know that?
Yeah.
If it's just an old piece of clay, the next time you pour water in it, no matter how dry you get it, it's going to fall apart. Unless it is exposed to extreme heat. So, she said that she was in this thing. I don't know if you ever remember her saying it. And there was a little window on it. And she was looking out and saying, Lord, it's hot in here. And he was looking in the window and he was watching every aspect of the procedure. And she said she got the comfort of knowing that he would not leave her in there one more minute than was absolutely necessary to do the job. Now, the thing about the pottery house is that it is not just once that the pot has to go into the furnace. Did you know that? It has to go in again when the glaze is put on to bake the glaze, to bake the paint, so that it will not leak whatever from that. So again, the issue of going into the furnace again, and again, the cry of the pot. We are these earthen vessels. We cry out. We say, oh God, is this necessary one more time? I mean, can't we be done with this now? I mean, what else is it now that you want out of me?
Right.
And he's smiling. He looks in the window and he smiles. And he's pleased. He's pleased with what he's seeing. And he's going to open that door as soon as the job is finished.
Yeah.
Amen. All right, there's some more verses, if you can bear with me a little bit. Isaiah, there are a lot of, most of these are in Isaiah, by the way. Isaiah 47, start in verse 12, okay? This is about Babylon, okay? So that's the context. It says, stand now with thine enchantments, and with the multitude of thy sorceries. Now this is talking now to the wicked, okay? The righteous have to go through fire, but there's a different kind of fire that he has reserved for the wicked.
Right.
Okay? Wherein thou hast labored, sorceries wherein thou hast labored, from thy youth. And if so be, thou shalt be able to profit, and if so be, thou mayest prevail. Thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counsels. Let now the astrologers, the stargazers, the monthly prognosticators stand up and save thee from these things that shall come upon thee. Surely they shall be as stubble, the fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. There shall not be a coal to warm at, nor fire to sit before. Thus shall they be unto thee who with whom thou hast labored, even thy merchants. From thy youth they shall wander, every one to his quarter. None shall save thee. So there is a fire, a different kind of fire, is not meant to bring forth silver, but is meant as a destructive fire for the wicked. Babylon is going to experience a destructive fire that is going to annihilate it, their merchants, their stargazers, the whole thing. Just wipe it out. Okay. Continuing in Isaiah chapter 54, start in verse 11. Now, this whole chapter, we could just go through the whole chapter. Sing, thou barren, sing, thou that didst not bear. Okay, you know, that's the way it is. Fear not, be not ashamed. Okay, I'd love to do the whole chapter. But let's just focus on, as we come down, here's verse 6 again. For the Lord has called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, a wife of youth when thou wast refused. All right. So here's somebody that's suffering. It speaks of a woman. Of course, a woman always speaks of the church. Okay? And verse 11. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest, not comforted. And again, in verse 13, we're getting close to the one I want to look at now. Yeah, well, let's start in verse 11, okay? Not comforted. Behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colors and lay thy foundations with sapphires. All right, he's building a foundation in us. Amen? And the foundation has to be the right foundation. It has to be built on Jesus Christ. It cannot be built on culture. It cannot be built on traditions. It cannot be built on religion. It has to be built. Amen. It can't be built on your family background. Anything of the sort. It has to be built only. Your soul must be built on Christ. Amen. I will make thy windows of agates, thy gates of carbuncles, and all thy borders shall be pleasant stones. All thy children, amen, shall be taught of the Lord. Let's see, yeah, okay. All thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. How many of you believe that? Yeah. Yes, amen. Come on, just start claiming it. In righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come nigh thee. By the way, you know, I really believe it was important that we went to Nigeria. These poor people, they know about this Ebola, the Christian people. And some of their children are living in fear. Saying, Mommy, what's going to happen to us? And the first word we brought in Lekki was overcoming fear. Listen, read the Word of God. It says you will not give in to terror or fear. And you know the things that are changing in the world. The last 6 months, the terrible things that have come upon the world, the ISIS, the invasion of Ukraine by Russia, and the devil just cutting loose with all these things. Verse 15, Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. In other words, there's going to be conspiracy against you.
Yeah.
But it's not God. Amen? Whosoever shall gather against thee shall fall for my sake. Now, here we get to the fire part. Behold, I have created the smith that blows the coals. God, where is this coming from? All right, it's coming from hell. But why are you allowing it? Because I made that smith. I made him to blow the coals. And I am going to use the devil to bring forth something in you called an instrument. Amen? Bring forth an instrument for his work, and I have created the waster to destroy.
Yeah.
Now, you're not all metallurgists. Did I use the right word? Bernie knows more about what I'm talking about than probably any of you. When you go, let's say you want to make a sword, all right? And you buy this chunk of metal at the hardware store, and you go with this piece of metal and you hit something and boom, the thing bends. And you say, well, man, even if I sharpen it, that thing's going to be no good. So what has to happen to this piece of metal to make it a useful instrument? Now, it wouldn't just have to be a sword. It could be a farming instrument. It could be a scythe or a sickle to cut grass or something. You can't have the thing that's going to go out there and bend every time you swing it at the grass to cut the hay or whatever. It has to be gone through a tempering process, which means it has to endure heat. Now, see, in the olden days, the blacksmith, this is what the verse says, I have created the smith. What the smith does is he creates heat. And he can't get enough heat by just starting a fire. He has to find a way to bring in more oxygen, in other words, a blower of some sort, to make it hotter and hotter and hotter. And that's what these ancient furnaces were all about. That thing of Nebuchadnezzar where he put the three brethren in there, that was a specially designed furnace to bring in all kinds of extra air to make this thing. It was a smelting and refining furnace. Whether they did bronze or gold or silver, I don't know what they did. But it was something designed to create more heat than you'd ever get by building a fire. And this is what the Lord is talking about here. So the smith will heat up this metal, and in the process of heating, he takes a hammer on an anvil, and he starts working it down, okay? He's not just going to take a file. He's going to sharpen it also with his hammer. This thing will get red hot, white hot even. And he'll form it, and then he takes it into cold water. Right in the coldest of water. Am I right, Bernie? Yeah. And he has to be careful, again, so that he doesn't overdo it.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be just right. You see, if he does that too much and too many times, now when he swings it, it's brittle. And it'll break. So somewhere between bending and breaking, there's a perfect instrument.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And the master knows. See, now you say, well, the smith is, he allows the devil to do it. He allows the waster, the smith. But he's in charge. When there's been enough, he pulls the leash back on the smith and he says, enough.
Yeah.
She's right where I want her.
Mm-hmm.
What my spirit has been accomplished in her now.
Mm-hmm.
She's not a complainer anymore. She's rejoicing. She sees what I've been doing. And I can use her now.
Right.
And I'm going to use her and I'm going to thrash the hills. I'm going to tear the devil's kingdom apart. And she isn't going to back down. She isn't going to whimper. Amen. She's going to go at it. She's going to obey me and do everything I say, and the kingdom of God will come.
That's right.
Amen. I quoted from Isaiah 41. Let me go back there and read the exact verses so you'll know I wasn't just... 41. Isaiah 41. Verse 14 and 15. Oh my. Again, another wonderful, wonderful chapter. Let me start in verse 10. You don't mind, do you? Fear thou not.
Amen.
Now, you know, I learned one thing. Whenever the Lord says, fear not, it's because you are going to be in circumstances that your natural man would fear. In other words, if you don't have the Spirit of God, you're going to tremble.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You're going to say, oh my, oh my. Whoa. How am I ever going to get out of this?
Oh,
am I going to be destroyed? When the Lord starts off, fear not. It's going to be bad in the natural, but He'll take care of it. Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed. See, you don't have a right to even be dismayed. Amen? For I am thy God, I will strengthen thee, I will help thee, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. How many of you would like the right hand of His righteousness? That's the best hand. Is the right hand of righteousness. I mean the Lord's best hand, okay? Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. Amen? They shall be as nothing. And they that strive with thee shall perish. How many of you found that to be true?
Mm-hmm.
Right. It may take a long time, but it's the word of the Lord. Thou shalt seek them and shalt not find them. Even them that contend with thee, they that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. Do you know that the Lord could annihilate this ISIS thing in just one snap of His finger? But He's allowing it.
Yeah, He is.
He's allowing it because the nations have turned to wickedness.
Right.
And He's going to use them until He's finished with them. And one snap of His finger and they're done. Amen. We're getting closer. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Now, here we go. Fear not, thou worm Jacob. How many of you like being called a worm? But Lord, I thought I was pretty good. I mean, I like the word sons of God better than thou worm Jacob. Oh, but we're nothing but a worm. We're not as big and important as we think we are we?
Nope.
Amen. And ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Now, what's He going to do with this instrument? Okay? Here's the key. Behold, I will make thee a new sharp thrashing instrument.
Hallelujah.
So you're going to be a thrash machine.
Machine.
You're going to be a thrash machine having teeth. It isn't just going to be a simple little blade. There's going to be teeth on that blade. Amen? Thou shalt thresh the mountains. What mountains? What are mountains?
Things against
us. Obstacles.
Yeah.
Things that have prevented you from being all you could be in Christ.
Amen?
Amen?
Yes.
That includes your old carnal nature. That includes your temper. That includes the things in you that you have had a hard time overcoming. It's been an embarrassment to you. It's got you in trouble in your house, in your family, with your spouse. God says He's going to help you. He has a way to thrash this mountain out of your life.
Amen.
Amen? And beat them small. They're not going to be big anymore. And shall make the hills as chaff.
Hallelujah.
Okay. By the way, let me read that verse. Let me read verse 10 in the Amplified. I think I have an Amplified right here somewhere. This is Isaiah 41, verse 10. Fear not. There is nothing to fear. For I am with you. Do not look around you in terror and be dismayed, for I am your God. Now listen to this. I will strengthen and harden you to difficulties. So that He's going to harden you. Remember when you just couldn't take it anymore? And now, remember, you face the same thing and you say, we'll get through it. No problem. What's happened? He's hardened you to difficulties. Yes, I will help you. Yes, I will hold you up and retain you with my victorious right hand of righteousness and justice. Amen. Okay, just some good verses here. I mentioned Daniel. I'll just read that verse in Daniel about what they were doing to these dear brethren.
Well, God is delivering us through everything. The world out there is not getting what we're getting.
No, they're not. It's available to them. The deliverance is available, but they're not getting it.
Right.
And it's going to work the opposite to them. Here's just so I mentioned the furnace. Daniel chapter 3, just read verse 22. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So you see, the enemy that took them to throw them in the fire, it killed the enemy,
yep.
But it didn't kill them.
Amen.
And I don't have time to go into the whole Shadrach, Meshach thing. It's a wonderful story. I just hit it lightly. Just a few more verses and I'll quit, and you can meditate on what I've said, okay? Malachi chapter 3, verse 3. You've heard me say this time and time and time again. You must think it's one of my favorite verses by now. Malachi chapter 3 is the last book in the Old Testament, and we're talking about the coming of the Lord. All right, so we're talking about our generation. We're talking about our time. We're talking about things that are happening right now, beginning to happen. Heating up. Heating up. How many of you know things are heating up in the world?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay?
Amen.
Verse 2, but who may abide the day of His coming?
Right.
And who shall stand when He appeareth? For He is like refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. That's another description of a furnace. We're going to have to take it, brethren.
Yeah.
You can't fall apart.
No.
Whatever your furnace is, I had a furnace. I had to go through it.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to learn to rejoice in it. I'm going to learn to thank the Lord in it. I'm going to know that I'm coming out. It's not going to end there. Wasn't it just the week before we left that there was a prophetic word given? Lord says, I'm not through with you. I got more plans. Okay, so we go through the furnace, come out the other side. Let's get on with the plans. All right? And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver.
Yes.
Who's the he?
Lord.
The Lord.
Yeah.
He, and by the way, you notice he's sitting?
Yeah.
He's relaxed.
We're running around.
He's not in a hurry.
Now,
when you're standing, you've got your hand on the thing. I've noticed when Rita's running the wash machine, she's standing. She doesn't bring a chair in there, sit down. She might get everything done and then go somewhere else and sit down for a while. But sitting, he's taking his time. He's relaxed. He's comfortable. He knows it's going to come out just the way he wants it to come out. Amen? And he shall purify the sons of Levi. How many of you believe that we can be among the sons of Levi?
Amen.
Amen? I believe we are. Amen. And purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. All right, let's finish up with a couple verses from the New Testament. No, I'm not going there. But you can if you wish. No, I'm going to a nice safe place of Romans. And, you know, it's been many years since I spoke on this, but here I am back again. Romans 5, verse 3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations. You know, I didn't used to like to glory in tribulation. I used to complain in tribulation.
Yeah.
And I'm asking the Lord, do I still complain in tribulation? I hope not. I hope I've got a lot better attitude about it. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience. How many of you believe we have all the patience we're ever going to need?
No.
How many of you find that maybe we're a little impatient sometimes?
No. I don't want it.
Really?
No.
You know what?
We're without it.
You know what? I hear you. And I remember thinking that I could trick God and say, I'm not ever going to ask for patience because I'm going to get tribulation. And you know, I was in hard times in those days. And you know what? I saw a quick little smile, and he said, son, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, no, it doesn't.
Because you're going to get it anyway. So you cannot trick me by saying you won't ask for patience. Because, why? I said, why? He says, because I want your character to be balanced. And when it's time for you to have patience, you'll have patience. You'll have tribulation when it's time. Oh yeah, you can have the other things of the Spirit too, but they're going to come in equal portions.
I don't even talk about patience.
So you're not going to be overbalanced in one and lacking in the other. Okay? Tribulations, and knowing this, that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, that means you're patient and you know by experience that you're going to get through. You got through the last time. You got through the time before that. You know by experience. And experience gives you hope. Because you say, yeah, I'm going to make it. And hope maketh not ashamed. In other words, you're not going to be disappointed. You're going to say to other people, I'm getting through this. And you're not going to be embarrassed and find out that you didn't get through it. You're not going to be ashamed. Okay, that's far enough there. I'll finish up with 1 Peter. And you know what 1 Peter has to say. Chapter 4. I think it's 1 Peter, isn't it? Chapter 4. And verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. In other words, Peter is saying, hey, this is routine. This is usual. You wanted the nature of Christ, did you not? How many of you want the nature of Christ?
You got to have it for the end times.
Is there anybody who does not want the nature of Christ in you? How many of you do not want to become sons of God? Good, no hands. So then Peter's saying, all right, since this is what you want, then don't think it's strange that these fiery trials, and by the way, fiery trials are trials that have furnace involved in them. Yeah. Just a minute. Which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice. Now, I remember the first time I learned this, because it was the word of the Lord was saying, in everything give thanks.
Yes.
Okay, I've got that. For all things give thanks. Wait just a minute. All right. In everything, but for everything? God, this is terrible. This is not even of you what's going on in my life.
Okay.
How can I thank you? But the word of the Lord did not change. Not only in everything, but for everything, you rejoice and you give thanks. And I remember getting up, and in those days, getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning was a fiery trial in and of itself. I just did not like getting up at that hour. And I got in my car, and I had to go down into the bowels of Albany to a meeting. And this word kept going through me about my circumstances. And it said, okay, I'll praise the name of the Lord. My mouth does not want to open. My teeth are clenched. No, literally.
Yeah.
I'm in the car saying this. But I praise your name, Lord. Well, I kept doing it, and by the time I got to get off the thruway in Albany, I was really smoking. I mean, the car was rocking, and my hands were going, and I was genuinely praising God, and my whole attitude had changed. And when I got into that motel where there was a meeting of a bunch of administrators, I was the president of the thing, and I had arranged for a man from Long Island to be a speaker. And it was, you know, February and March, the Friday the 15th of February and Friday the 15th of March, both on the same day. And he wrote the wrong day in his calendar. He did. And so the colleagues are there in the meeting enjoying their breakfast, and I'm out in the lobby pacing back and forth. Now, this is before cell phones. We didn't have cell phones to call the guy. Hey, where are you? I mean, in those days, we had to depend on the Lord. And I'm pacing back and forth. I think, I'm looking at the door. He's going to come in any minute. But behind me, he comes and he checks out. And he goes right by me. He never knew who I was. And I said, Dr. Noble. And he turns around, yes? I said, remember, I'm the guy that invited you. I said, I see you're checking out. You're just going to take your stuff out to the car and you're going to be right back in, right? Oh, yeah. He gets his book out. Oh, I have you down for next month. I said, well, you're here. Would you mind coming in and giving a few words to the guys? Yeah, sure. Let me just make an arrangement here of my next appointment. And yeah, sure, I'll come in. You know, the guys in the room never knew. They never knew a thing.
Right, only you.
And you know what? If I hadn't obeyed the Lord and decided I was going to praise Him, I would have been a most embarrassed individual that day. I would have gone in and said, I'm sorry, guys. I really messed up. I don't know where this guy is. Mm-hmm. It was. I went back home that day. I went back to the hospital. I said, God, was this a miracle? Am I allowed to count this? I mean, I was really naive in those days. Yes, it was a miracle.
Amen.
All right. We're reading Peter. Did I finish with this? The fiery trials, beloved thing in that, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering. Now, we want to be partakers of His nature. What else is in the nature of Christ? Is suffering. And I still cannot get the real understanding of this verse that says He learned obedience by suffering.
Right.
And I'm thinking, well, He was born obedient.
Right.
How could He possibly have needed to learn any more obedience?
Yes.
But you see, He was a man in the flesh as well.
Yes.
If He had to learn obedience by suffering, surely I am not exempt.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
If I want His nature, I'm not exempt. Partakers of Christ's suffering, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. And you see, that's the other part of that verse, for you are dead. I'll just finish with that. It's Colossians. For you are dead, Colossians 3:3, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Okay? When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory.
Amen.
So you see, there is a reward attached.
Yes, always.
It's that we shall appear with Him,
right,
and we shall partake of His glory and manifest His glory as well. Yes. God bless you. And let me just shut this off.